present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with the cutting scene in the Nutfield Village Monthly magazine, read for us by Brian Perkins.
A big thank you to Jeff Dungate for his help in erecting four new neighbourhood watch signs around the village. These replace the signs which have been stolen.
Thanks to P. Glidden of Nutfield for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Clive Anderson. Opposite them on my left, the lovely Alan Corran and Sandy Toxby. Andy, which two best friends deny they're barely on speaking terms?
Oh, this is the hate that dare not speak its name. Blair and Brown, apparently... they've had another ruck this week. I think the basic difference is over whether or not we should embrace the euro. And Brown's position, to be fair to him, is pretty consistent, has been. He's got these five tests that have to be met before we can join the euro. They're pretty straightforward. There's the inflation should be roughly equal across Europe. The second one is harmonisation of interest rates. And down to the fifth test, which is that Tony Brown has to...
Your thinking, though. Well, I know what
you're getting onto the cloning story.
Yeah,
though,
yeah.
Aren't you? It's got the charm of Tony Blair. does the sums like Gordon Brown.
Could it have Gordon's hair?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Tony Smile.
It's a rather frightening concept, isn't it? Anyway, I think that the fifth economic test is that Tony Blair has to go and get the golden fleece from the ancient land of Colchis. And once that's been done, then Gordon's happy to go into the euro.
But you're right, it's nothing to do with whether it's going to the euro or not. It's just who's going to be prime minister or not. That's what they're disputing.
Well.
No, it's because they're not like next door to one another. I'm sure that Brown has still got the secateurs, and they're sick and tired of Blair going round for a cup of sugar they haven't got.
Yeah, they're not like best friends. They're like brothers, aren't they? Like,
well, he did this very strange thing, Blair, saying he's my very best friend. And I've only ever heard that at the Cricklewood Tavern when people are pissed and have just you're really my very best friend. And then bang.
I think it's silly anyway to suggest they've had a row because they're not speaking, are they?
He's not really built for charm, is he? He's built for doing the sums right. So he's in the right job. Well, why can't he just sort of, happily settle into it?
He's not that good at sums, though, because when he was asked what he was hoping for in February, he was confused by the question, and his wife is due to have a baby in February, and apparently he hadn't worked that out. Well, nine's a tricky number, I know. You're getting up there towards double figures, aren't you?
Yeah, but seasonally adjusted.
Yeah. Can I just say, please keep in the moment where I couldn't remember the name of the Prime Minister. Although it might damage my image as a cutting-edge satirist, I think it would really wind up Tony Blair.
Don't worry, he can't remember your name either. That Emma Hamilton on the radio.
Downing Street said the relationship between the two men was closer and better than any of their predecessors. Former Chancellor Norman Lamont said this was ridiculous. It was exactly the thing that tosser John Major would have said. Clive, which bill might find itself detained in the House, if not indefinitely, then at least for quite some time?
Oh, well, this is a whole slew of measures that go through the House of Commons now without anybody... they're not allowed to debate it. There was a state of emergency we're under at the moment, and so it's probably David Blunkett in charge of this, and he's rushing through measures so everyone can be locked up on suspicion of being a terrorist or foreign or both. And in fact, you have to be foreign and a terrorist to be locked up because they've excluded domestic terrorism from this state of emergency to avoid having to arrest a load of Irish terrorists who've just been let out as part of... the previous breakthrough in policy, and it's almost as though we haven't got a proper constitution and the government can do exactly what it wants and nobody says anything about it. But that can't be true, can it? Because we live in a democracy, that's why we're fighting wars over it. So that's the... that, I think, is what's going on.
Yeah. But this legislation, this anti-terrorist legislation, he's now conceded that it's only temporary legislation, he said, isn't it? It'll only last for 5 years. But my worry about that is that, as I remember it, income tax was originally brought in as temporary legislation.
To fight Napoleon, yeah. And it worked, Andy.
But
that proves it's a good policy.
I know, and I know we shouldn't get complacent, but I don't think Napoleon's the risk he was now. So I'm wondering whether maybe they could look at that, you know, in the light of changing events and new realities.
Well, they had to poison his wallpaper to get rid of him, and you can't do that with Bin Laden because he lives in a cave. So.
Well, I thought for a brief moment it was quite good, because fundamentally what you can do, you can lock up any foreigner for no reason for as long as you like. And I thought, that's a good idea, and then I remembered that I'm Danish.
And you've swung to the right this week,
haven't
you?
Well, so... not me personally, as you can imagine.
The Home Secretary said that all the detention measures were squarely aimed at people who secretly plot against this government, at which point Gordon Brown began to shift very uneasily. Sandy, why is Stephen Byers flying high for a change?
Yes, well, fresh from the triumph of the way in which he runs the railways, the Transport Secretary has decided, pretty much on his own, actually, that what we need is a Terminal 5 at Heathrow. And it was the longest inquiry ever. There were 30 million words and 700 people gave evidence, and most of them said we shouldn't have it, and he said we should. And everybody should be comforted about the night flights things, because there would be inquiries available. But as the inquiry had 700 people saying we shouldn't, and he was the only one who said we should, I don't see it's a great comfort to everybody. But, I mean, the man is very good. And actually, funny enough, today, his assistant, Jo Moore, she turned up at the House of Commons for the first time in 45 days, and people thought, you know, she'd been in a kind of period of purdah. And I didn't think that at all. I think she had just come to work by train.
I saw that apparently it's good for Britain and it's good for our economy, because what's apparently important is that Heathrow Airport in London can compete with Frankfurt Airport and Charles de Gaulle. Now, I would have said that if you want to travel to or from London, Heathrow Airport has the edge over, over Charles de Gaulle and Frankfurt. I don't know. Do airports compete? I mean, do people sit down and think, oh, it's the holidays are coming up, which airport shall we go to, darling?
People only fly based on duty-free pricing, that's it. That's, where do you get the whiskey cheap?
But you can't buy duty-free anymore, it's mainly sock shop. Heathrow is mainly tie rack, sock shop, and sort of luggage. You see people turning up at Heathrow who aren't flying anywhere because they're terrified to fly, buying luggage and going home again. There are only about 9 people flying. Terminal 5 will be for 5 people. But it's a good place to bury Jo Moore. I bet he's going to put her under Terminal 5. He knows it.
The new terminal could mean an extra 20,000 flights a year at Heathrow, though if the Greek police have their way, there'll be no one here to see them. Alan, listen to this.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see? When you're early with your baby, last row in the balcony.
Alan, why is Kabul once again as pretty as a picture?
There's a film called Kabul.
No.
There's cinema opening in Kabul.
I saw that.
Oh, sorry.
They opened this cinema in Kabul and people started hammering at one another. I mean, it was just the way it was when I used to go to the Odeon when I was a kid. And the bloke just put his hand up. He was wearing a uniform. That's probably what did it. The commissionaires in Kabul put their hand up and said, only 3 more 109s. It's been the first time in 5 years they're singing in the streets and they're showing Titanic.
Tell me this, Alan, just while we're on the subject. Why does the Times spell Taliban different from any other newspaper?
Does it?
Yes, it spells it with an E. T-A-L-E, and it's T-A-L-I. Which is it? Do we know? I think you should, even if they're your enemy, you should spell them correctly.
No, it's like Winston Churchill mispronouncing Nazis the whole time. It's done to annoy them.
Yeah. Oh.
What a good move.
It's brought them to their knees, that and the wallpaper.
Kabul cinemas have reopened for the first time since the Taliban, or if you're a Times reader, the Taliban took over. With the cinemas reopened, locals can once again enjoy the delights of the lights dimming, the projector running, and who knows, the erotic flash of a woman's bare nose. 2 points for everyone. We start round two with a cutting from the internet's This is Bradford news page.
A Bradford-based catering company is leading the field when it comes to revolutionising hospital meals. Medina Foods, working with Bradford Royal Infirmary, now has chefs paying patients fortnightly visits to get their feedback.
Thanks to David Mather of Chester for that. Linda, which...
Linda? What?
Linda. It's a Tony Brown question.
So was Andy a bit of a late booking, was it?
I'll tell you what, Linda, HRT's doing a treat for you.
It's a leftover from the Birmingham script, and she was in a burqa then. It's a very religious
city. That's right, I'm not offended at all, actually. It's absolutely fine. I mean, you know.
Get mistaken for Linda. Bin Laden, maybe. But,
yeah. They'll never find me here. No, go on, then.
And the next question is this. Which government utility is failing to deliver?
Hang on, I'll just ring Linda. See what...
Can't fail with this one. Just guess any utility.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. All of them. 2 points. This is the post office, or Consignia, as they are now called. Takes a bit of work to come up with a word that doesn't exist. Just think how much they paid marketing people to come up with that. Now, I think they've been taken over by the mafia, and they're now saying that if you want your letters to arrive, you've got to pay a little bit extra, if you know what I mean. They're abolishing the second post on the grounds that, you know, it's expensive and you need postmen, and that you're going to have to pay an additional fee to ensure that you get your post before 9:30, is that right?
Well, you can actually choose, apparently, to go and collect it from a central point, which is wonderful, really. What you could do is go round to the house of the person who sent you the letter the day before, save a stamp and waiting 24 hours.
But they can't. But how do you know that they want to send you a letter? I mean, you're going to call on people randomly.
You ring them up.
Anything for me?
You shout through the letterbox.
Do you think Consignia quite understand how the postal business works? Consignia
isn't. I mean, it isn't a firm at all. You can tell from that. It's a small, independent Balkan state. You can see Consignia with men in mustard-coloured uniforms and plumed hats and Sam Brown belts and 400 medals down the left side of their chest. I am from Consignia. I bring mail. I love your country. Here is stamp.
I realised I didn't understand the whole post office thing, because when they said you could pay a delivery fee to have your letters delivered, I thought that was what a stamp was. What's that money for?
Do you think the stamps are purely decorative?
Consignia admit the current delivery system is inefficient and blames the Hatfield rail disaster. Public service first, so far even Railtrack have not blamed the wrong kind of stamps. Clive, listen to your music. Who complained about a ruling that stitched them up?
It's a strange world, isn't it? There's Tesco, it's a shop, it tries to sell things to people, and it wants to sell them at a cheap price. So they've got a stock of Levi jeans, they're selling them away, you queue up, you get your cat litter and your cheese and stuff, and you, oh, a pair of jeans, please, fine. Now, you'd have thought everyone would be happy with that, especially people who make the jeans. But oh no, they don't want that. So Levi jeans have taken them to some fancy Dan court in Europe somewhere to say, please stop these people selling our jeans at a good value to people so they'll like our product. It's obviously against the European treaty of helping American companies in some way. And and so the court has decided on behalf of the people that people can't have cheap jeans, so that a company making them can't sell them, and Tesco can't make even more profit than they do already. It's a mad world, my masters.
But apparently part of the judgment was that Tesco's wanted to sell them for £25, and in fact you can buy them in normal shops for £50. And the reason you pay that extra £25 is because people want that kind of customer service.
They want both legs.
They want, yeah, they want both legs, and somebody smarmy going, your ass looks great in those.
But what's going to happen now is the Tesco will make own brand Tesco jeans for £25. They'll be made in the same factory in the Philippines anyway. It's just you won't have Levi written on the back, and everyone won't get that feeling of, ooh, I'm wearing the stylish thing.
Clive, are you going to make your children wear jeans that say Tesco on the back of them? Because I don't think you're going to be on to a winner.
Simon, why did we get a fashion question? Was that an attempt to throw us?
Well, because I thought you were Linda.
He thought I was Linda.
Tesco sourced the jeans on what they called the grey market, which is crazy when someone accidentally put the white market and the black market in the same wash. Sandy, who thinks they're fit? Who thinks they're fit?
Can't really describe it. If you think, you don't have to go to gyms anymore, you don't have to lift weights, you just have to think. And if you think, anything you've got that is small gets bigger. I found this works in very few cases. But at the University of Cincinnati, they had a test, and the man thought about his little finger for a long time, and it got bigger. And he went on to his biceps and all the rest.
Isn't it funny that it was a male scientist that wanted to do this?
Got an enormous little finger now. Drives me mad.
Well, that's fantastic.
But apparently you don't have to do exercise at all anymore. You just think.
Oh, sorry, can I just make a note of how you do this? Can I just get... Do you have to concentrate on the particular bit of the body in some way?
I've so stopped thinking about being fit that I'm disappearing day by day. It's all power of the mind. Just think.
It works better on your sort of midriff than it does on most of the rest of your body, doesn't it? I've found over the years.
Yeah.
Think chins. I want more chins. Whoa, it works!
It's funny about the fitness things. I tend not to read about fitness in... Well, as you can tell, I move like a gazelle. I realised the other day I've reached that age when all my friends keep going, oh, God, I wish I was as fit as I was when I was 18. And I always feel rather smug then, because I'm exactly as fit as I was when I was 18.
I'm puzzled that all these fitness joints are called Holmes Place. I have a friend, David Keane, actually, and he's joined one of these, and he rang up, and he said, do you want to come over to Holmes Place? And it sounded the sort of place I like. Somewhere you'd smoke a pipe and sit around with Watson all day. I mean, going round to Holmes Place sounds... Cab, take me to 221B Baker Street. And I'll have... can I order the pudding now? But they all seem... They're springing up everywhere. There are two near me. I'm getting very fit trying to avoid them, going down side streets.
This method, can you think yourself a longer neck?
What I like is these things, step exercises. And the maximum use of it is to put it in your bedroom and then only think about doing it when you're downstairs. And so you run upstairs to get it. By the time you're there, you've done it. You've done it. And just come down again.
Scientists led by Dr. Guang Yue at the Cleveland Clinic Foundation in Ohio claim that merely thinking about exercise can increase the muscles. News has been hailed as proof positive that just buying gym membership and never turning up really does work. Before we start the final round, here's a notice from the Northiam Parish magazine.
A black and white cat was found outside the newsagent's shop at the beginning of October, but despite inquiries, an owner has not been found. My husband has now buried the cat in our garden.
Thanks to Minnie Reeve of Rye for that. Clive, who is saying yes to the euro 200,000 times?
Well, sounds like an important story.
Yes, let's move on.
this is... yes. No, I'm glad you asked me this.
I just beat Daley Thompson.
What I wouldn't give to have Linda Smith with me at this point. This is clearly somebody who has voted in favour of the euro.
No. It's a beautiful story, this. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of beautiful story, isn't it?
Is it an Irish story,
I think
by
it is.
Oh, I know what it is. I've remembered.
No.
There was a guy asked... No, that's quite right. He went into a bank in Ireland...
I'll let you tell it, but I want the point.
Got his... Yes, he went into a bank in Ireland and he changed up his pesetas into, what do they call them in Ireland, punts, or punts into pesetas. And there was a slip made by the teller, and instead of giving 200,000 pesetas, he or she gave this customer 200,000 euros, which were worth rather more than pesetas. And so the chancellor realised their mistake and hightailed it out as quickly as possible. And I don't know why I didn't get this immediately, because I heard him on the radio and he said, well, obviously I kept it. I'd be so stupid if I handed it back.
They gave me a very big carrot and I couldn't help but take a big bite and chew.
Yes. But for the amazingly realistic Irish accent adopted by Sandy when chipping in earlier on, I wouldn't have got that story.
She was trying to mislead you.
It's a Spanish accent she was doing, but it came across to me as I was just enough. So I think we've lost this game already, Linda, so we might as well just...
The
cashier in Dublin had accidentally paid euros instead of pesetas into a Spanish bank for their customer Dave Hickey. As a result of the error, his £1,200 became £200,000. What really upset them was when Mr. Hickey wrote, "Dear Bank of Ireland, you appear to have overpaid me in error. I'm giving you the money back. However, I am charging you £199,000 for sending this letter." Sandy, which royal walkabout was causing no EastEnder trouble?
Oh, yes, this is an extraordinary thing. Her Majesty, bless, is having a most unusual day out, and she's going to go and see how television is made. And she's going to EastEnders, and this has caused a bit of a problem as to whether Wendy Richard or Barbara Windsor, Babs, is going to show her round. And the Queen herself must have been torn as to which she would have preferred. And then she's going to see Blue Peter, and she's going to see ITN making up the news. And then CNN to see what's really going on. And then to make it a whole broadcast experience, while she's out there making over her garden and her front room. We thought maybe a council house look would be nice. Can you imagine if she asks Pauline Fowler how she is?
Just give me an extra. She'll be in the background playing darts.
Albert Square. We had an Albert in the family.
Queen Vic. What a coincidence.
It's been a battle between EastEnders cast members Barbara Windsor and Wendy Richards over who will show the Queen and Prince Philip round the Elstree studio when they visit next Wednesday. Both stars play much-loved characters in an improbable soap opera with a huge following, while Barbara Windsor and Wendy Richards play picnic. The production staff have promised a few surprises for the royal couple, such as the Queen being asked to pull a few pints in the Vic, and Prince Philip being exposed as the father of Natalie's baby. Alan, which vicar exercised his right of veto over the hiring of his church hall?
It's somewhere in Essex. Is this the one about yoga?
Yes.
Henham.
Henham in
is
Essex.
Is that the vicar or is it the village?
No, Richard Farr. Reverend Richard Farr.
Sandy, you need to get out more.
I see where we're getting wrong on this side. They've read the papers and learnt the names of the people, for goodness sake.
It's terrifying. I mean, the church is normally fairly unattended, but they started giving yoga classes and all these people come hobbling in the lotus position with their asses dragging on the ground. And the vicar is saying this is no way to worship the living body of the Lord. It is turning into nasty Eastern ways. So you can't come to church if you do yoga, because before you know it, it'll all be in on the northwest frontier killing Christian people. And we don't want that. You will become Eastern. And he's nailed 39 articles to the front door and told them to listen.
Basically, you can't get to Jesus with your foot behind your ear. That's right.
You don't need to do it anymore anyway. You just have to think that's that true. You put your foot behind your ear. It does just as well.
I'm doing it now. Isn't
that's
isn't
my ear, Andy. Leave it alone. Now, if Linda Smith were here doing that, I might not intervene.
Linda bloody Smith. Yeah, wait till I see her.
I just have to think you're Linda Smith. And it'll be...
Is it the specific worry this vicar has that people would sign up for yoga classes and within 5 minutes they'll have turned into Hindus and he'll have lost a lot of customers? That's it, in a nutshell, that's his worry, isn't it?
Perfectly logical. But the Hindu centre down the road, they don't allow people to go in there and make jam either, so it's a balance, it's a balance, isn't it? You know, fair.
The Reverend Farr has banned yoga classes from his church hall after declaring them contrary to Christian teaching. He didn't want his church hall full of a bunch of bearded, sandal-wearing hippies. Jesus accepted. Before we reveal the final scores, we'll hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Linda.
Oh, that's a funny running joke, that Linda joke. Right. I'm indebted to Jack and Heather Duff of Chipping Sodbury. Something I've always wanted to say. The Oregon State Department of Fish and Wildlife is advising hikers to take extra precaution and be on the alert for bears while in the Truckee, Kirkwood and Yosemite areas. They advise people to wear noise-producing devices, such as little bells, on their clothing to alert but not startle the bears. They also advise you to carry pepper spray in case of an encounter with a bear. People should be able to recognise the difference between black bear and grizzly bear droppings. Black bear droppings are small and contain berries and possibly squirrel fur. Grizzly bear droppings have little bells in them and smell of pepper.
This is also about an animal. I'm not quite sure I follow this story, but here it goes. It should have been the perfect spy, but the CIA's attempt to use a surgically altered cat as a covert bugging device fell at the first hurdle when it was run over by a taxi.
Sandy.
From Tuesday's Daily Telegraph. Guard dogs keep a flock at prayer. 40 parishioners spent longer than usual at prayer on Sunday when two guard dogs, trained to recognise only 20 people and bite anyone else, stationed themselves outside a church. The Reverend Peter Chicken's sermon, terribly pleasing, had included a reference to Daniel entering the lion's den. But when the service was over, his congregation preferred not to tackle the Rottweiler and Mastiff roaming the churchyard. They were more ferocious than the lions, Mr. Chicken said. James Balneaves, 75, a chorister, was bitten on his buttocks on his way into church. He said, I could hardly sit down, but I sang the hymns.
Alan.
Got a piece from last week's Sunday Times, Simon. Says a suspected burglar stole the camera that was used to take his picture at a police station. Since no one spotted this, plasterer Michael Wells, 35, was then given a lift part of the way home to King's Lynn by a constable. The camera was only discovered when he was caught trying to steal a van to take him the rest of the way home.
Thank you all. Now, let's look at the final scores. Andy and Clive have 13 points, but Alan and Sandy, thanks to my unique scoring system, clear winners this week with 19. And before we leave you, there's an extract from an interview with the set director on the Harry Potter film, sent in by I. Geffen.
The Dursleys' furniture had to be utterly horrible, of course. I found a lot of it in Watford.
Back to mine.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Clive Anderson, Sandy Toksvig and Alan Corran. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson, Paul McKenzie and George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.